live in Pennsylvania. I live north of Pittsburgh, between Pittsburgh and Erie and Cleveland. So it's about 17 degrees and a foot of snow on the ground at my house today. So I'm enjoying Wilson, North Carolina. But it's a joy to be here. It's a joy to meet all of you. I watch you guys on the Facebook just about every week. And I just want to compliment you guys. You do a really good job. A lot of churches out there need a little bit of help. Maybe some of them shouldn't be trying. But you guys do a phenomenal job. So I just want to encourage your technical people and sound and media, Pastor Ricky and Pastor Jerry. You guys just do a great job. And it's a blessing. So folks are watching and are being encouraged. So you can give thanks to the Lord for that. We tried to get here last year, but things got messed up, as Pastor Jerry was telling you. But the Lord's timing is always perfect. So I'm honored to be here with you this week. And I have traveling with me today a very good friend of mine, Pastor Bob Russo from South Carolina. And he's my driver. He's not too good at driving, but I do have to leave tonight, and we got to work our way back to Greenville, South Carolina. I fly out of Greenville in the morning. And but it's a joy to meet you. I'm older than I look. I know I look 34, 35. I'm 47. And I was a senior pastor, Pastor Jerry, when I was 21 years old. Had graduated from Emmanuel and was pastoring a church. And moved to California, planted a church in Sacramento, planted one in Scottsdale, Arizona, and began traveling at some invitations. Started traveling in 1994 to Russia. And that was just the beginning of the journey. And basically, I lead worship, preach, and do whatever the Lord requires and ask of me, and just available to Him. And that would be the best encouragement I can give to you this morning, is be available to the Lord, because He'll use you in ways that will blow you away if you're available to Him. And He's the potter and we are the clay. And so all these years later, and 38 nations later, we're still rolling. I do speak Russian fluently, and this morning I will be preaching in Russian. And Pastor Jerry will be interpreting. And we're going to have church. So we thank the Lord for that. But it's just a joy to be here. If you have your Bibles this morning, we're going to be looking at the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I believe I have a word from the Lord for you this morning that just absolutely matches what God has already been doing in the house today. And we're going to be reading from Paul's letter, the 1 Corinthians, chapter 13, verses 16 through 18. Beginning in 13, the scripture says, "Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, and be strong." That's good stuff, isn't it? Especially to our Marines down here. We got Marines up in the house, man. In faith, be brave, and be strong. You know, brother, I actually tried to go into the Marines when I was 18 years old. I lived in Richmond, Virginia. And at that time, the Marine officer came over to my house. You know, I was graduating high school because I really wanted to be a lawyer or an archaeologist. Indiana Jones is my hero, along with Michael Jordan. And so I wanted to be an archaeologist. Well, let's start in the Marines. Let's do that. Of course, God had a different plan for my life, and this is where I end up. But the Marine guy, you know, recruiter came over to my house, and my mom and dad were sitting there with me. And I said, "Hey, man, I want to join the Marines and go in for a while." And he's talking to me and all this stuff. And finally, he sees my hand. Now, I was born this way. And so I don't know any different. Okay? I actually went to a Shambok meeting one time. Everybody's trying to get me healed. And that's okay. I believe in healing. I believe God's going to heal some folk today. But he started to pray. I said, "Man, don't pray for me." I said, "This hand has opened more doors than you can imagine. I'm a professional piano player. I play baseball through college. I'm a scratch golfer. Leave it just like it is. When I get to heaven, it'll be all right." So the Marine recruiter, and he saw my hand. He says, "Oh, we got to stop right here, young man. I'm sorry, but because of your hand, you're not going to be allowed to come in the Marines." You know what I told him? I said, what if I take you out in the front yard and whoop your rear end? Would you let me in the Marines then? He said, no, but I sure would love to have you. So we stand strong, right? It's what Paul is writing to the Corinthian church. In the faith, be brave and be strong. Let all that you do be done with love. Isn't it amazing how he co-opts and partners here the words bravery, strength, and love? Love can be strong. Love is not always a sign of weakness. Verse 15, I urge you, brethren, pay attention right here. You know the household of Stephanas, that is the first fruits of Achaia, and they that have devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that you also submit to such and to everyone who works and labors with us. 17, I really want us to focus on. I am glad, this is Paul writing, right? Paul the apostle wrote half of the New Testament. He says, I am glad about the coming of Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaicus. For what was lacking on your part, they supplied. For they refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge such men. I want to repeat it for you. He says, I am glad about the coming of Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaicus, for what was lacking on your part, they supplied. They refreshed my soul and yours. This morning, I want to talk to you about the key to the anointing. I'm thankful that we come into this house this morning and automatically we feel at home. The spirit of worship is in the house. Everybody is happy in the Lord. There's a fellowship. There's a kindred spirit. God is up to something good here at Westmoreland. Amen. Why? Because God's in the house, because there is a refreshing that goes on. And I've got news for you. You are already discovering what the key to the anointing is. I thank God for prayer. I thank God for worship. They are all necessary in parts of our lives in growing and becoming stronger. But you can pray until the cows come home. If you don't have love for your brother or love for your sister, you're nothing more than a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And they're going about to the ceiling and smacking you back on the top of the head. Because God is looking for folks. They're going to walk hand in hand. They're going to walk in the strength and the power. But they're also going to walk in love. And when we have love one for another, we're going to accomplish much more than you can even ask, imagine, or think, because God is at work in you. In fact, I would submit to all of us this morning that everybody in the room and those that are watching on the live stream or listening on the radio, everyone needs to be healed. You may say, well, now, Pastor Greg, little man, I'm feeling pretty good today. Yes, praise God for that. You still need to be healed. Well, I'm blessed and highly favored. You still need to be healed. Well, everything I got is going good. You still need to be healed. You say, well, what are you talking about? Let me help you out this morning. Everybody needs to be healed. You say, well, what do I need to be healed of? Your opinion. No matter how long you've been walking with Jesus, no matter how much you've experienced with God, every one of us still needs our opinion healed on a daily basis, because no matter how good you think God is, He's better than that. No matter how much power you think God has, He has more than that. And when we as the people of God will move to the place where we lift off the limits and constraints that we put on God, then He will begin to do more than you can ask, imagine, or think, because He's always willing and able. I'm here to tell you this morning, the key to the anointing Paul wrote about right here in this little chapter that probably doesn't get much attention. That one little verse where he said, I am thankful for Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaicus, because what was lacking, they supplied. They refreshed my spirit and they refreshed yours. Isn't it interesting that Paul, who was a contemporary, a partner, a friend, an acquaintance of people like Peter, John, Luke. He didn't say, I'm thankful for Peter, John, and Luke. Because they walked with Jesus. They experienced the miracles of Jesus. They witnessed everything. We need to be like them. No. He lists three heathen Greeks. Not Jews, who had been transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. He said, these guys who once were heathens, who once didn't know anything about Yahweh, the great I am. They knew nothing about the one that we call the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. They didn't know anything about the chief cornerstone or the day star or the everlasting father or the fairest of 10,000. They don't know the good shepherd or the Holy One of Israel. They didn't even know in Sunday school about the great I am. I'm thankful for those guys because they've had an encounter with the Spirit of God and they have refreshed my spirit and they have refreshed yours. Mimic those guys. Not Peter? Not John? No. Stephanus, Fortunatus, and Achaicus. When I begin to think about those disciples that walked with Jesus whom Paul didn't mention here, it's interesting to know that when Jesus called them, he didn't call them to preach. He didn't call them to lead worship. He called them to follow him. There was no resume of this is what we're going to accomplish. There was no hit list of this is on the list. He says, I'm calling you to follow me. The preaching and the ministry was a byproduct of the following. Dear friends, if we will take our following of Jesus to a new level, we'll begin to experience the byproducts of that relationship like never before. I'm here to tell you today that he is still in the healing business. And today, more than ever in our world, we need a healing touch from Jesus Christ. Our world is messed up. Our country is in a condition where people want to fight more than they want to do anything else. And the only answer for it is not found on the news. The only answer for it is not found in some political commentary. The only answer for it is not found in some higher education institution. The only answer for it, whether it be in our country or around the world, is Jesus Christ. 6 weeks ago, I just returned from Pakistan. I was preaching crusades in Pakistan. Anybody ever been to Pakistan? You know, everywhere I go, Pastor Jerry, nobody's ever been there. I don't know why not. It's a great place. 209 million Muslims. 500,000 Christians. And those 500,000 are on fire for Jesus, and God is doing miracles every day, and he's revolutionizing that country from the inside out, and nobody even knows about it. Why? Because they're hungry for the things of Jesus Christ, and God is taking this little nucleus of people, and he's turning the world upside down. We read about it in the book of Acts, where he took the 12 disciples, and he turned the world upside down with them. I've got news for you. He can take those that are right here in Wilson, North Carolina, at Westmoreland, and with the Holy Spirit of God on the inside of us, he can revolutionize our area. He can revolutionize our county. He can revolutionize our region and our nation. Why? Because God's looking for those that are going to be close to him and focus more on being in relationship with him than the byproduct of it. The byproduct will come. It's God's desire to heal them all. My word says that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers them out of them all. God is looking for ways to reveal his glory, but he's looking for people that are going to follow him, that are going to love him. You see, God wants to refresh us daily. He doesn't want us operating on stale bread. He wants to refresh us daily. In fact, I would just say it this way. And I want you to just hear this. Until your revelation becomes bigger than your environment, you will always live a life of containment and limitation. I'm going to repeat it for you. Until your revelation becomes bigger than your environment, you will always live a life of containment and limitation. But when your revelation becomes bigger than your environment, there's no limit to what God will do in and through you. When I first started traveling, and I was traveling in the nation of Ukraine, and I was a young preacher. I was 27, 28 years old, and I had been learning Russian, and my Russian was pretty good. Not to the level it is now. It's real good now, but it wasn't real good then, but it was decent, meaning I could understand much more than I could speak. Does anybody speak Russian here? So no Russian speakers and no Pakistanis. Okay. We got it going on in Westmoreland. I got you covered on those fronts. Any redneck hunters here? Hallelujah. I'm right there with you, baby. Well, praise God. I experienced the limitations coming off, and it changed my life forever. My prayer this morning is that God somehow will find a way to intervene in each and every one of our lives to allow a chain of events or reactions to take place that will remove the constraints that we have placed upon him. I'm 27 or 28 years old. I can't remember. And I'm preaching at a crusade in the city was called Kamenets, Ukraine, way down on the border by Romania. And huge theater, thousands of people there. It used to be a theater for the Communist Party where they would do their rallies. And it was full of folks that day, and it had been turned into a church. They're preaching away. Man, I was preaching a good message. It was good. Huge stage, they had a huge band. I mean, just, you know, like a crusade, you'd see. And I'm preaching away, and I made this statement, and my interpreter, who's a very good friend of mine to this day, I made this statement. I said, today God is going to heal the spiritually blind folks in the house. And my interpreter interpreted, today God is going to heal all the physically blind eyes in the house. And when you're in a foreign country and you're preaching through an interpreter, you can talk to your interpreter because nobody understands you anyway. I said, hey, man, I didn't say that. You translate what I said. I said it again. Today, God's going to heal the spiritually blind eyes in the house. And my interpreter once again said, today, God is going to heal all the physical blind people in the house. I said, listen, I'm the preacher. You're the interpreter. You do what I say. He looked at me. He says, my friend Greg, you don't have enough faith. But I've got enough for both of us. I said, well, thank the Lord for your faith. Preach what I say. And I said it one more time. Today, God's going to heal the spiritually blind eyes in the house. And he interpreted, today, God is going to heal the physically blind eyes in the house. And the pastor was sitting right where you're sitting. And his name was Igor. And Igor at that moment jumped up. I remember he raised his briefcase in the air and he said, I knew it. So I did what any good evangelist American would do. I ignored him and went to the other end of the stage. And I just kept preaching. And the pastor's yelling at me. Stop preaching. Stop preaching. Come back over here. I said, yes, sir, pastor. I knew it. I said, what did you know? I'm right in the middle of the message. I knew God was going to heal blind folks today. I said, well, praise God. I ignored him. I didn't want no part of it. I was scared to death. Now you sit there going, now hold on, you the preacher. Yeah, I'm a human just like you are. And I was in my journey to developing what God was making in me. You see, because he's still working on me to make me who I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, right? But he's still working on me. And I was in process. I said, well, praise God. And I kept on preaching my message. He says, stop it. You don't understand. God woke me up this morning and said he was going to do some miracles in the house and heal the blind eyes. And then you begin to preach that God was going to heal blind eyes. And it was confirmation. I said, well, actually, I was preaching spiritually blind eyes. It was my interpreter that had faith. In my head, I'm saying that. You know what my interpreter said? He said, I told you. I told you. Okay. I said, okay, we'll pray for him later. Kept preaching. Pastor said, stop! We got to pray for the blind folk. You don't understand. I said, no, we'll pray for him. And I kept preaching. He said, stop! You don't understand, Greg. I said, what, Pastor? When God told me that this morning, I woke right up and I called the school of the blind. They bought a bus full of blind people, and they're here today somewhere. Yeah, it's easy. Y'all out there shouting. Y'all wasn't there. Hallelujah. Yeah, I was scared to death. My interpreter said, I told you so. What do I do? He said, well, believe in what you're preaching. I said, I'm trying. I'm an American. We don't experience stuff like this. What? We're having this conversation while we're preaching. This is normal. For you, not me. He said, well, just pretend like you got faith. I got enough for both of us. He said, tell everybody to stand up. I mean, he's just coaching me. It's okay to be coachable, right? He said, tell them all to stand up. And let's just start praying. God was being graceful to me. I said, everybody in the building, stand up. A couple thousand people stood up. And Ukrainians are prayers, man. That was a fully concrete building. Everything over there is made out of concrete. I said, let's just begin to pray for God to do a miracle today. They started praying. And when Ukrainians pray, they pray like this. So can you imagine 2,000 people doing this in a concrete building? That building started to wiggle a little bit. I said, ooh, and they get loud. Rawr, like a jet airplane taking off. They're praying. I'm at the pulpit going, God, please, just heal one. Just one. Please don't make me look like an idiot. You see how I'm praying? You see, my opinion needed to be healed of God. He was better than I thought he was. God, just heal one. 5 or 10 minutes that prayer lasted. Then it just died down, just like it was being led by the Spirit of God. All of a sudden, way back in the building, I heard these words, Yavizhu. Yah, teach you Russian this morning, I, Vizhu. So I'm up there and I heard it, Yah, Vizhu. Here was my reaction. Did that chick say I can see? Yes, I told you. Just wait. Place erupted. Died back down. Another person. Yavizhu. 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 In just a few minutes, God healed all 33 blind people that came on the bus. Can I tell you something this morning? Preacher had nothing to do with it. And I would submit to you this morning that it wasn't 33 blind folks that were healed, but it was 34, because the one that was the most blind out of them all was the one who was preaching the message. But that morning I got a new revelation of how good God is, how big God is, how powerful God is, and my opinion changed of God that day, so that you can't tell me that God won't heal folks, because you can't take it from me, because I've seen what he can do. And many of you here, you've experienced what God has done in and through your life at some point. You've hit some point in your life where you have experienced God, and you know in the depths of your heart that it was God that moved on your behalf. So it doesn't matter what you see, it doesn't matter what you experience, it doesn't matter what you go through, because you know that your God is the King of glory and he's moved on your behalf. And at some point in your life you've experienced him. I'm here to tell you, he can do it again. If he's healed before, he can heal again. If he's saved before, he can save again. If he's set free before, he can set free again. Because God is a good God. We need our opinion changed, because God wants to accomplish great and mighty things through us. You see, the key to the anointing is we must first of all have brotherly love one for another that is an unbreakable bond. And the second key to the anointing is we must stop limiting God. I thank God for prayer and worship. They are vital keys, but they're not the keys I'm focusing on this morning. We understand those keys. But I got to love somebody. And I've got to expect God to do great and mighty things. You see, God is always looking to do great and mighty things. The book of Ephesians says, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that is at work in us." He wants to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think. In fact, I would look at it kind of this way. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 29 verse 29 says it this way. The secret things belong to the Lord, but the things that are revealed belong to us. Pastor Jerry this morning and during the offering time was talking about the first fruits and the blessing of God. That's a revelation from God. It belongs to us. The gift of salvation is a blessing from God. It belongs to us. The gift of healing is a revelation of God. It belongs to us. Are you hearing me this morning? That means it's yours. You accept it by faith. You move in it by faith. Jesus prayed for it when he died and shed his blood on the cross. He made the way into the Holy of Holies so that no longer was the Holy Spirit living out somewhere, oh, floating on some box, but he was now ready to move and live and be inside of our being. The scripture says it this way, "Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost?" You come into a relationship with God, and that power that created the universe, that power that flung stars off the ends of his fingertips, is living and residing on the inside of you, and he's waiting for an opportunity to bust out and to show how great and how mighty our God is. It's working in you. You say, "Okay, Pastor Greg, then what do I got to do?" I'm glad you asked. You need a revelation. Because once you get a revelation, you can then move it from the invisible world to the visible world. You see, as long as it's only head knowledge, that'll fail you. As long as it's grandma's experience, that'll only take you so far. But when you've had the personal encounter, it can never be taken from you. When I was in college and we were learning how to preach, right? Yeah, right. Had some good friends there. They're all pastors today and we're all buddies. We used to have preach-offs. We're completely in the flesh. But we were having fun learning. Who could preach better? Man, we'd practice in front of the mirrors, you know, because you had to have the point right. Man, I even remember as a little boy, I used to preach. And you play church as your little boy. I'd line up all my stuffed animals and preach to them and make sure, because like, I want to point like my dad was pointing. And my favorite stuffed animal was Boo Boo. Boo Boo got saved every week. Boo Boo got slain in the Holy Ghost and healed of diseases every week. I'm praying for Boo Boo. When I got to college, still learning how to do it, and you're developing, you know, you're learning. And I can remember going to my dorm room one night, and I said, "God, I thank you for all of this." I said, "But I'm pretty sure I've been in this my whole life, that the only way that you're really going to be effective is if I can hear your voice." I said, "So I'm thankful for the craft. I'm thankful for the education. But if I don't have your voice, then I don't have nothing." I said, "So I'm going to sit at my desk right now, and I want you to speak to me, and I've got to know it's you. So I'm waiting." I just sat there, and I had painted my dorm room walls charcoal gray. And I can remember looking at that gray wall. And I'm just sitting there. All of a sudden, I heard this voice in my heart. It said, "Turn to Psalm 34 and read." I turned to Psalm 34 and it said, I sought the Lord and he answered me. I said, hold on now. Just call me Thomas, but I'm not sure that's you. I said, I've been in church my whole life, and maybe that was in my head somewhere that I knew that one, and that was my flesh speaking to me, God. Let me try one more. I said, where is the scripture found? I'm in my room by myself acting like this. Where is the scripture found that says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging bread? I had no clue where it was. Just heard it preached 1,000 times. Instantly, the same voice said, turn the page. I turned the page and bam, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging bread. I said, okay, that's enough for me. I know I can hear your voice. I began to learn how to get a revelation from God. You see, we can get a revelation that God really is who he says he is. See, until you get the revelation, it's just words. But once you get the revelation, you really know what it is to be the Alpha and the Omega. The beginning and the end. You understand it. You begin to understand what it is when God says, I am the great I am. Have you ever thought about it? You know, I appreciate Pastor Jerry this morning giving you some Greek. Have you ever tried to understand what I am means? Well, it's deep. God says, I'm the great I am. I studied on that one for quite a while. And I finally figured it out. I done figured it out. If he's the great I am, we are the great you're not. I am, you're not. Don't that set you free? He is. May we have a revelation that he is. It reminds me of Peter. Peter was with Jesus, and the disciples were with Jesus in Matthew chapter 16. And Jesus came to them and he said, who are people saying that I am? They're saying, oh, you know what? They're saying you Jeremiah. You're Elijah. You're this prophet. You're that prophet. You're some quack job. That's what they're saying you are. He says, okay, you've been walking with me. Who do you say that I am? All of them were quiet except for one. Old Peter. He said, I know who you are. The old brash fisherman. He was a redneck of rednecks. And Jesus said, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. The one who used not always the most elegant language. Are you with me? He said a few naughty words. The one to whom, after this event, would deny that he even knew Jesus. And of course, Jesus knew it was going to happen. That Peter said, I know who you are. He said, you are the Christ. Christ means anointed one. You are the Son of the living God. And Jesus looked at Peter and he said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. He said, blessed are you, meaning happy are you. Be very happy, young man, Simon, son of John, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. Everybody pay attention right here. We're going to land the airplane. Flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. I didn't reveal this to you. Jesus was fully man and fully God. He had flesh and he had blood. He didn't whisper it into Peter's ear and say, here's the right answer. John didn't lean over and say, you know what? I know Jesus very well. Let me tell you the answer to that. Some Pharisee or scribe didn't come by to Peter and say, I know who he is. I've looked it up in scripture. And when he asked the question, this is what you can tell him. Jesus said, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but my Father who is in heaven has revealed this to you by the power of the Spirit of God. And I'm here to tell you, Peter, that on this rock, on this revelation, I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Why? Because you've had an encounter and a revelation from the Spirit of God. Every one of us are candidates to walk in the same revelation of God. Every one of us are candidates to hear the voice of God. God doesn't rule you out. Well, God only speaks to the preacher. No. Sometimes it's only the preacher that'll listen. Sometimes. Well, God only speaks to the Sunday school teacher. God only speaks to little old Grammy as she's praying on her knees. God wants to speak to you. God wants to have a personal encounter with you. So many times we get to this point of where God is trying to speak to us, but it's like we run into a wall of fear. Today, may that fear be broken in your lives. May that that fear that wants to hold us back from maybe stepping out in faith and getting out of the boat and doing something great for God, where we're worried about the opinions of others, or we're worried about what somebody may think, may you be broken off of you today in Jesus' name, and you understand I can hear the voice of God, and in Him I can live and move and do great in my things, because it's His Spirit that is working on the inside of me. Forget the opinions of others. His opinion's what matters. Peter caught that revelation in Matthew 16. He went on to deny Jesus. But I got news from you. Peter went from nobody to somebody because he could hear the voice of God. In Acts chapter 2, Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. The day of Pentecost, he preached and 3,000 were saved. In Acts chapter 3, it was Peter and John going up to the temple at the hour of prayer. And that man who had been laying there for 40 years begging alms. And he was laying on the temple steps at the gate. And the church folk would walk by him every day coming out of the temple. And they would throw him a coin so their conscience would feel better. But on that day, Peter and John were not religious folk. They were full of the Holy Ghost of God. And they walked up the steps and they caught a revelation from God. And they said, this man doesn't need a coin. This man needs a healing touch of God Almighty. And he said, listen here, young man. Silver and gold we don't have. But what we have, we're going to give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. It was that same Peter who caught the revelation in Matthew 16. The scripture says in Acts chapter 5 that many mighty miracles were done through the hands of Peter. And in fact, sometimes just his shadow falling on people, they would be healed. In Acts chapter 9, Aeneas, a cripple, 8 years, healed. Acts 9, Dorcas was raised from the dead. Acts 10, Peter received the second great revelation. The first great revelation was that Jesus was the Son of God. The second great revelation that he received in Acts 10 was the gospel was for the Gentiles. Peter, why? Just a normal fisherman. Because he could hear the voice of God. And here's the good news. And I'm closing the first time. We are a part of that same body. That's 2,000 years ago. Yeah. And that body's eternal. And we are a part of the body of Christ. We are not a part of the body of Jesus. The body of Jesus lived on this earth 2,000 years ago, died and rose again, ascended to heaven, is sitting on the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for you and I. We are part of the body of Christ. Remember, Christ means anointed one. We are a part of the anointing of Christ. Now, only Jesus had the anointing in full. We have it in measure. We'd probably explode if we had it in full. Scripture says we grow from faith to faith, to faith to faith. We grow from glory to glory to glory to glory. And the scripture says that we have, you know, we know in part, we move in part, we prophesy in part. Why? Because we're just a part of that anointing. But Jesus had it without limit. You and I have the Spirit with measure. That measure of grace, that measure of faith, according to the Word and the power of God that is working on the inside of us. But here's the good news. When you and I join together, y'all ain't hearing me. When Stephanus, Fortunatus, and Achaicus joins together, when we put our arms together, when we put our spirits together, when we put our hearts together, we then become not spirit with measure. We become a part of the body of Christ that has spirit without measure, because we are a part of the body of Christ and he begins to assemble us back together. And some of us will be head people. Some of us will be eye people. Some of us will be shoulder people. Some of us will be elbow people and knee people and feet people. But when you put them all together, we become the yes and we become the amen in Christ. And at that point, we can then begin to walk forward and move together. And at that point in our life and in the work of the local church and the work of the ministry, we move to that place where limits are removed, where constraints are removed, where we begin to walk in that revelation and understanding that God has for us. That it's just like when Paul said, I want you to be like Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaicus, because what was lacking everywhere else, they supplied, and those brothers refreshed my spirit, and they refreshed yours. I just prophesy over Westmoreland that in 2020, this is going to be a year of coming together in a spirit of unity like you have never experienced before. I just declare over you this morning that there's not seats enough in here to contain it. And this is going to be a house of miracles. And God is going to begin to pour out his spirit. And signs and wonders are going to follow. And they are going to be for unbelievers. Now hear me. Signs and wonders flowing in this house are going to be for the unbelievers. We're not here just to show off and show God so we can come up here and have a goosebump party and go quiver out at the Golden Corral. We're here so that God can show up and do great and mighty things so that those that are walking around this county and those that are walking around this town who are walking in darkness will experience the God of great light. In fact, I just declare over you this morning, the house here at Westmoreland, that you're going to go places you've never gone before this year in Jesus' name. You're going to see things you've never seen before in Jesus' name. You're going to do things you've never done before in Jesus' name. And sometimes when you come up to things that you're going to encounter, you're going to experience things that may be just a little bit uncomfortable for you. You may look at your pastor and say, Pastor, I'm not too sure about that one, but I trust you as the leader of the house, that you are hearing from God, that you're getting a voice from God, and we're not going to fight against you. We're going to lock arm, and we're going to go forward with the things that God has for us. Because I remember that little short white boy that came here and preached about Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaicus. It wasn't about Peter, James, and John, but it was about this person and that person, and they came together. And Paul was the one that said, you remember those and do what they do. May there be an outpouring of the supernatural in this house in Jesus' name like never before. God, we thank you for what you have already done. But that was just to give us a taste and a glimpse of what you want to do. Because when we have seen and we have experienced the glory of God, it just whets our appetite, Father, because we want more of you. May this be a house of miracles in Jesus' name. In the mighty name of Jesus. May this be a place where we are refreshed and we become refreshers. Just like Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaicus. They refreshed my spirit, Paul says, and they refreshed yours. And in closing, I'll give you one thing. What will stop that from happening? Your yoke. Your yoke. But according to the book of Isaiah chapter 10 verse 27, we have a promise that it is the anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage. And I just thought it was so interesting, Pastor Jerry, that you called for that prayer this morning, because I knew where I was going. We just declare today that yokes be broken in Jesus' mighty name. Bondage be broken in Jesus' name. When you read that scripture in the book of Isaiah, you move to the language of Hebrew, not Greek. And in the Hebrew, the language means that the yoke is actually destroyed because of the fatness of the oxen as they would grow bigger and bigger and bigger. By becoming full, the yokes would break off of them. And the scripture actually illustrates at this point. You know we're talking about a yoke, right? That would be around the neck of the oxen, that wooden thing, right? I'm not a farmer. I'm a hunter and a fisherman, a preacher. A musician. That's what I do. I shoot things, catch things, preach things, and sing things. Hallelujah. But that yoke they put around that oxen's neck, as the oxen was refreshed, he would grow fat. And the yoke that used to hold him back couldn't hold him back anymore. And the yoke, due to the fatness, would literally break off of the oxen. In the Hebrew, the word picture is painted this way. The word broken there actually means to be disintegrated. Now I want you to hear this, because this is what we are as human beings. We going through life and God breaks something off of us, but we've been used to carrying it so long. And sometimes we'll just try to pick it up, put it back on our neck, and take a little duct tape and tape her up real good and go on with life as we had been used to it. But the picture is God wants to break the yokes of bondage off of us. You would say, well, man, I've been serving Jesus for 50 years. Yeah, and you know what? We still have a yoke. God's greater than you think he is. Maybe there's something you struggle with in your life that nobody knows about. God's greater than that. Maybe your relationship with your wife or your husband needs to improve and it's just a yoke around your neck. Maybe it's something in your personal family, in your finances, in your walk with Jesus. I don't know. It's not a heaven or hell question. It's a question that God wants you to set you free so that you can be all that he wants you to be. That yoke will break off and is disintegrated. The reason the word picture is that because God knows humanity. He created humanity and he knows we likes to fix things. But there are things in our lives, dear friends, that we can't fix. You can't set yourself free. God can set you free. You can't heal yourself. God can heal you. You can't save yourself. God can save you. And that picture there of that yoke being broken off, it's disintegrated, it's just blasted. And it says to be, in the Hebrew, the word definition means, it actually says to be made into a, into like a product that is like fine baby powder. It just blows away. Today, in the mighty name of Jesus, may this be a house of refreshing like never before. May this be a house full of people who are refreshers, that the constraints and the limitations that we have placed on God be removed from us. The blinders that are on our eyes, the stoppers in our ears be removed. May we have an understanding that it's not just because we have a name like Billy Graham or Reinhard Bonnke, but we can be Stephanus, Fortunatus, and Achaicus, and we can do great and mighty things through our King. And when we do that, God's going to show up and do mighty amazing things through us. Just proclaim over you blessing. I proclaim over you the year of liberty in Jesus' mighty name. Proclaim over you good things. Pastor Ricky, would you just come to the piano for me, please, brother? The Lord is just bringing this to my spirit. I'm just going to read it to you. I'm about to get happy. Hear this, church. Westmoreland, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. Westmoreland, listen to me. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon you, because he has anointed you to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent you to heal the brokenhearted. He has sent you to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. He has anointed you to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. He has anointed you to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, and to give them beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning. He has anointed you to take the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, so that they may be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord our God. This is your year. In Jesus' mighty name. May all constraints and limitations be broken in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. I just want to invite you all to stand with me this morning. I'm just going to give a general call for prayer. I don't know how you do it on Sunday mornings. And Do I have freedom? Thank you, Pastor. If you heard the word that was being preached this morning, you say, Pastor Greg, I want that. I want that. And I know we already had a call this morning, but if you would just say, I want that for my life, I want that for my family, and I want that for my church this year. I just want you, I know it'll fill the altar, but that's okay. I want you to come stand here with me right now as your step of faith this morning. I want that for this house. I want that from my family. I want that for this church. This is a house of healing in Jesus' name. Can any good thing come out of Wilson? Can any good thing come out of Westmoreland? Yes, it can. Wow. This altar call was so the Lord could see it. So you could see it. Right there where you're standing, just raise your hands to the King of Glory this morning. Lord, here we are. We stand here in Westmoreland in Wilson, North Carolina. We thank you for the time that we have gathered together. We received the preaching of the word this morning. We received the impartation of the prophetic word this morning. And as a church body, we come here and stand. Our hands are uplifted to you. And Father, we just surrender to you. You see, with your hands uplifted this morning, it's an action of surrender to him this morning. Lord, if you can use anybody, use us today in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you in this house, there are ministers, there are teachers, there are preachers, there are worshipers, there are anointed men and women of God. This is a house full of Stephanus and Fortunatus and Achaicus and Father, waiting for a fresh revelation of the kingdom of God. I thank you that the gifts of healing will flow in and through each and every one that is standing here this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you this morning that this is a house of freedom in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we surrender to you. I know we're at the beginning of the year. We surrender 2020 to you, Lord Jesus. May you accomplish what you have said you will do. Father, we thank you for what you've done in the past. We thank you for what we've witnessed in the past. It's just a taste of what you want to do. But Lord, our prayer this year is more of you, more of you, more of you. Father, we thank you that you're going to declare over this place and over this region through the power and the work of your Holy Spirit, the greatness of you and your kingdom. So Lord Jesus, together, our hands are uplifted to you. Father, I thank you that this is a house that is free in Jesus' mighty name. I thank you that this is a house that is surrendered to you in the mighty name of Jesus. We surrender to you. And Father, my final prayer this morning, there are folks standing around this altar that have some yokes that need to be broken. Father, I'm not calling them out. We know. It may be things that we're attached to. It may be opinions. It may be struggles that nobody else knows about. Today, in the mighty name of Jesus, that name that one day every knee will bow to and every tongue will confess, we choose to bow and confess today. That name that is powerful. That name that breaks every bondage and breaks every chain. We receive today in the mighty name of Jesus your freedom. Yokes of bondage be broken in the mighty name of Jesus. Yokes of addiction be broken in the mighty name of Jesus. Yokes of opinions that need to be changed be broken in the mighty name of Jesus. Yokes of sickness be broken in the mighty name of Jesus. Yokes of habits that need to be broken in the mighty name of Jesus. Anything that would hold us back from being close to you, Jesus, is a yoke, and I thank you for the fatness of the Holy Spirit that breaks it off of us this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you glory, we give you honor. We give you glory, we give you honor. In the mighty name of Jesus. Just sing that one time, Pastor Ricky. In the mighty name of Jesus.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
Just receive it this morning in the mighty name of Jesus.
There is power
in the name
of Jesus.
There is power.
There is power, oh, in the name of Jesus.
Here's the important part.
It breaks every chain. Breaks every chain. To break every chain.
Oh, there's an arm.
It breaks every chain. Breaks every chain. Breaks every chain.